The 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Welcome along to Friday's 9 till noon show. It's Michaela Clark sitting in this morning for Greg Hughes. We'll begin shortly with our Friday panel for a review of the week in news. But just a quick reminder to get in touch, you can call us by calling 074 91 25000 or text or WhatsApp at 086 60 25000. And you can also email comments at highlandradio.com. Joining us for the first hour, though, I'm delighted to introduce Katie Turrell McCafferty, community campaigner. Good morning to you, Katie.
Good morning.
And we're also joined by Councillor Martin Harley, who is the Cathaoirleach of the Lifford Northern Municipal District. Good morning, Martin.
Good morning, Kate.
And last but not least, Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly, the last Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council and a councillor in the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District as well. How's things, Donal?
Good morning, Michaela, and to all your listeners, and Katie and Martin there as well.
So we're going to start with drug use. We saw concerning figures published yesterday by the Health Research Board, which showed that cocaine use increased from 1.5% to 93.2% per 100,000 people between 2020 and 2023. It's been described as the perfect storm with higher availability of the drug, its purity and affordability. These are very concerning figures indeed. We'll start with yourself, Katie. What is your reaction to that?
I was quite shocked at the figures, actually, and the fact that they're saying it's affordable now, more affordable, because cocaine always used to be the drug of what we used to call the city dealers in London, you know, because it was so expensive. But it's just, it's a life ruiner, you know. I've had friends who, a friend who had been a cocaine addict, and she lost all her teeth, her nose was collapsed. This was in London, and it just ruins lives, because at some point it might be affordable now, in the future it might not be, and people mm-hmm. just are go to desperate measures to be able to afford cocaine, you know.
And it was always kind of considered a real hardcore drug, but now seeing how widely used it is, that is frightening.
Really, really frightening. I mean, there's figures out that I think was the Bank of England actually did it, that, you know, £20 notes, something like 80% of them had traces of cocaine on them. You know, it's just crazy. Mm. And, you know, it was a drug that was out of reach for a lot of people. So Solf was actually the working class version of cocaine, and you know, I just think it's crazy, and as I say, it's a life ruiner. It really is, and we need to look at the root causes of why people, you know, turn to drug use. Because it's okay if it, you know, some people say, oh, it's all right, it's just a recreational drug. I use, you know, might use it on a Saturday or whatever, but then it becomes habit forming, and we see the road that goes down.
Absolutely. Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly, have you heard from constituents? Is there any concern locally about an increase in drug use, particularly relating to cocaine?
Yeah, Michaela, listen, I suppose this is something that we've been really made aware of, I suppose, in recent years, you know. And, you know, the figures speak volumes. It's shocking. You know, I think this drug, particularly cocaine, has become more accessible. And, you know, maybe myself, talking of my own and my own opinion, maybe I'm one of the lucky ones here, because, you know, I know very little about drugs, only from what I read. Mm-hmm. But I do know that drugs such as cocaine seem to have gotten very, very popular, you know, and it's in high demand, as the figures show. No, it's definitely a massive growing problem. You know, and I'm told as well, Michaela, you know, that the drug has gotten more affordable due to the high demand, and it's also very easy to get, which is very, very scary, you know. And, you know, the figures clearly show, you know, that our discharges from acute hospitals is soaring. Mm-hmm. Cocaine-related psychiatric admissions has increased. And the usage...
And that's it. It's the fallout of that, them psychiatric admissions then. It's the mental health impacts and the impact on people's overall health that I think, you know, as Katie was saying there, it's a recreational drug. Somebody might take it at the weekend, but it's the lasting impact of that, even once, if they use it.
That's for sure, Michaela. And like, it's like all drugs, you know, the harm they do, I suppose, for youth particularly, it's unseen, you know. And, you know, in some ways, you know, in the recent times, it's nearly become the norm, which is very, very scary. Mm. And, you know, we see even now there's more cases of overdosing as well, which is scary. And whether that's a case of the drug being more pure, which seems to be the case. Mm. But, you know, it's a very scary time for youth of today. You know, I suppose if you go back to my own generation, I'm not that old, I'm only in my early 40s, but, you know, I suppose if you go back to that time, drugs was kind of unheard of then when I was growing up, whereas now they're very accessible, you know, and, you know, you're afraid for your youth. I mean,
absolutely.
My own young fella there is 13, 14 years of age, and it's a worry that you always have, and, you know, I'm sure every family is the same, but, you know, as scary as it has destroyed lives, it has destroyed relationships, families, you know, and, you know, how we clamp down, you know, it's not for us, I suppose, but we have to make people just more aware the dangers of drugs, and I suppose listening down to, if you like, our customs and our borders to try to clamp down and ensure that they can capture these amounts of drugs that's coming into the country.
Mm. And Councillor Martin Harley, as Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly alluded to there, it seems to be a minority that haven't been exposed to drug use firsthand. That's the way the times seem to have changed at the minute. Like, I remember myself going out whenever I was younger and, you know, there was no sense that somebody was doing drugs in the toilet, but now it just seems to be so commonplace. Is that something you feel as well?
It's very common, unfortunately. It's there's every town and village, like, I suppose, you'd have thought about drugs, you thought about the cities around Ireland that were the problem. But now every town and village, drugs is very accessible. And in fairness to the Gardaí and the customs, they have had some massive fines over the last number of years where they've got a lot. But, you know, then, unfortunately, then, they take them to court and the first thing, they're granted free legal aid. They get solicitors, barristers, senior counsel to represent them free. The state's paying for it. And then the judges maybe give them a couple of years or a slap on the wrist and say, go back. So, I mean, that's a big problem. And the big problem as well, looking at that statement that came out yesterday from the drugs board, is that the cocaine now is 45% more potent than it was 5 years ago. That's a bigger worry.
It's terrifying.
So that means that it's hooking people quicker.
Mm.
So people might be thinking they're using the same amount of drugs as they were using 5 years ago for recreational use, but it's 45% stronger than it was. So that's a big issue as well. 130 people died of drug use last year. I mean, when we look at statistics for road traffic and for everything else as well, this is something we don't really hear much about.
Yeah.
As well, 24, there was 5,289 cases treated. I mean, we talk about our hospitals and our A&Es being overcrowded.
Yeah, that's having a huge impact then as well.
It's having a massive impact there. That we don't seem to think that's not happening. That's 5,000 times that somebody had to be seen. That's not 5,289 people. That could be people. It could be someone that could be seen 8 or 9 times.
Yeah.
So that's not statistics of persons. That's the amount of visits. So these are the things that we're talking about.
It's a whole society, an entire societal impact as well. You know, yourself, you do sometimes consider if you're going out and about, you know, could somebody be on drugs? You don't know how they would react, and it could be the wrong place, wrong time. If somebody, you don't know what impact drug use has on people's mentality whenever they're out on the streets either. That's a scary thing too.
Yeah, to see the problem is as well. And like I'm in the bar game 35 years, and people, you can see it now when you see people that are in fights on the street, and they seem to have more power because a lot of them, there's drugs involved.
Mm.
They don't even actually know their own strength, and they don't actually know what they're doing half the times. And this is a big problem.
Yeah.
This is a massive issue where before you knew it was alcohol 20 years ago. You knew it was alcohol that was in the system. Now you don't know what's in the system.
Yeah, and your role. in the Vintners Federation of Ireland as well. Speaking to other publicans, is this an issue that they, that is witnessed right across the country?
It is, of course, right across the country. We've discussed it at many vintners meetings, and it's a massive issue. And you're cleaning up the toilets tonight, and you're finding the small empty bags that are there, and that's the problem right across the country. No matter whether it's from west of Ireland to the east of Ireland, there's no demographic in it.
Yeah.
And plus, as well, you look at it now, the people that are getting treated are aged between 15 and 64. One time it was 20 to 35 year olds.
Yeah.
So now it's 15 to 64. So that's
crazy, thinking a 15-year-old. Yeah.
And I know as well, in fact, from a restaurateur in Dublin that, and this was like a Michelin star restaurant, this is back, say, 5-6 years ago, that they were like top of the class restaurant, but the upper class were only using it so they could do their drugs in it. They weren't.
Crazy.
They were going in, they were putting out fantastic meals, and the plates were coming back in again, hadn't been touched, because they were just using it to go in there, because they knew that there was a certain class of people there that knew they could go in there and use drugs, and nobody turned a blind eye to it.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate.
And following on from Martin's point as well, is that I was a barmaid in the East End of London for 10 years. And back then, you could at least have a little bit of control over the situation, you know, with drink, because, you know, if someone had had enough, you could say, right, that's enough now. Do you know what I mean? But you don't know what they're taking.
I suppose somebody coming into the pub as well, you don't know what they've taken beforehand. If they start drinking, how that's going to react then?
Going to react. And as well, and as Martin said about the A&E visits, is then there's a big knock on then of mental health services. Do you know what I mean? You know, because it does show later in life, you know, and it... Listen, I'm no prude. Do you know what I mean? I'm really not a prude. And as I say, years ago, people just did it like one night a week or whatever. But this stuff is so addictive these days, and the quality of it has changed so much that people are going to be in real trouble. Real trouble. As I say, I'm no prude at all. I don't judge people, but it's going to get out of hand big time.
Yeah.
And as I say. When I was going out and was around this type of stuff, it wasn't affordable, so you couldn't do it all the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was much more of a upper class drug, but it's not now.
Yeah. And Katie, what do you think does need to be done? You know, Martin mentioned there that people as young as 15 are using drugs, cocaine now. What do you think needs to be done? Does it need to be at that youth level that, you know, we need to roll out? There are so many campaigns, but it's just obviously the message isn't getting through.
Yeah. But then we need to find out who the pushers are. Really. I mean, we can certainly do campaigns around drugs, particularly things like cocaine. Acid was the drug when I was younger. I don't know what it is now, if that's still about or whatever. But we need to do campaigns about it, but we need to find out who's pulling in these young people. Because what you tend to find is that people would buy drugs off of people that they know. Do you know what I mean? So they normally recruit someone young and start, and then getting them to push it, you know.
And you do see it, you know, in TV series and films. It is the young people, you know, that are dealing for these higher level drug dealers then. And, you know, the drug debts that go, like, surround this. And, you know, it's not just the drug use and the health implications, it's the debt and everything.
Yeah, it's like a form of grooming, actually, what they do to the young people. And these big noise drug dealers, these cartels, you know, they're the one, they can afford the top barristers in the country. You know, they drop their pushers like, you know, at the drop of an hat. And it's the young person that's going to get it done. And that conviction is going to follow them for the rest of their life. Do you know what I mean? You know, these drug cartels, they're not stupid and they know what they're doing. And it's, you know, unfortunately, as usual, they'll get off with it and it'll be the young people. And as I say, it's a form of grooming.
Yeah.
You know? And I think the schools do really good work around it. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's where ed teachers, not only do they have to run a school, they have to keep their eyes on all these mm-hmm. sorts of things going on as well. Do you know what I mean? And yeah. it makes you so unpredictable. You know, I just feel these people are going to have, some are going to have serious mental health problems yeah. down the road, you know.
Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly, we talked briefly earlier about, you know, Gardaí are making these big drug busts, but obviously the scale of the fines are, you know, into the millions. But when you look at that in comparison to then, you know, the cocaine use at the level that it's at, there's obviously so much coming into the country. And do you think a lot more does need to be done, or what more do you think Gardaí could do in relation to this?
Yeah, well, listen, Michael, I suppose the Gardaí, I suppose, are doing their level best. We do see throughout the country that we're massively short on Gardaí on the ground, which is an issue. We have our customs, you know, that is doing their best as well. But, you know, there seems to be so much ways of accessing into the country now, and it seems to be coming in all different modes and methods, which is... It's very scary, you know, and, you know...
It's such a sophisticated operation these days.
It is, and, you know, and these cartels, you know, these are very smart people. You know, you don't underestimate them, and, you know, it seems to be a case if they're caught smuggling one way, they always seem to find another opportunity, which is scary, and I suppose it's ongoing. But, listen, I suppose I go back to maybe awareness, and, you know, we have a lot of... great groupings that are carrying out fantastic work, provide fantastic help as well for people that do end up being addicted, you know. And, you know, I think our schools, as Kitty has talked about there, they do great work as well. And maybe more so we could be making more awareness through our schools for young kids, you know, that post leave and they go into secondary school and things like that. But, you know, we also have, unfortunately, not every individual is the same. And, you know, you have people with maybe addictive personalities and, you know, maybe try this drug once and end up
getting hooked,
you know. And I think it's very important. An old saying, you know, that my mother always preached, you know, is you never judge a book by its cover. You know, you never know what somebody's going through or have gone through, you know, and I think that's important. But, you know, as I say, you have them addictive personalities. But it's important, you know, that people come forward and get the help that has been provided, you know, because, as I say, there's a lot of good groupings there. But just to go off the topic maybe of the cocaine as well, and something that has been brought to my attention, which I brought up in a meeting a couple of months ago as well, Michaela, is the vapes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the vapes...
Yeah, they can take in that CBD some of them,
Cannabis oil in them. And, you know, this is very scary. And, you know, there's a lot of people vaping now. And, you know, that cannabis oil and vapes, that's a big barrier. And, you know, you see a lot of youth now. And, you know, that's a massive cause of mental health issues as well. You know, and something that needs to be...
And it's just because it's starting at such a young age now. And, you know, teenagers' bodies aren't formed. And, you know, it's just... I think it's going to be years down the line before we see the fallout of this.
Yeah, without a doubt. But something, I suppose, has to be kept an eye on as the vapes. And as I say, not to get away from the cocaine. As Kitty says, at one time it was a hard-end drug, but now it's just got so common and so affordable it's just very, very scary.
Now, some of your comments coming in on that topic. There's an epidemic of cocaine use among young farmers trying to keep themselves going, believes that listener. Morning, if Gardaí wanted to stop drug usage, all they need to do is hang around the toilets in licensed premises on a Saturday night. It's rampant and usage is not a secret. When you see 10 young fellas queuing for the cubicle and they're in and out in 45 seconds, it doesn't take a genius to figure out what is happening. Another listener says, coke is so commonplace, I've been offered it the same way you'd be offered a drink or a cigarette. And another says drug dealers are living openly in Donegal. Now we're going to move on for the time being. So a lot of people would have been questioning this week, should sport not be uniting rather than dividing communities and nations? There's been two topics relating to this week, but we'll start first with a cricket club in County Down which cancelled a cross-community summer camp which included children that were due to come from East Belfast GAA this week, and it was on the back of comments made publicly and on social media, and the club then felt the spirit of the camp was being lost, and an Orange Lodge did subsequently release a statement as well. Councillor Martin Harley, do you think that this is what's wrong with the country? You know, we can't move on whenever things like this are still existing.
Yes, it was very disappointing because when you've seen what has happened there in North Down Cumber Cricket Club this week, and then when you've seen 260,000 people will be in Port Rush this week, less than 100 mile away, you know, to see one of the world events. Like, it's sad to see that happening. And in fairness to Cumber, the cricket club, they were just trying to give all opportunity to all people to an opportunity to play cricket, which was great. Like, you know, and that's a great, it's great to be able to play different sports and have an idea, and you get a respect for every sport and the skills that are involved in it. And it's so disappointing. And I don't think they had any choice. They, you know, they were put into a corner.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't going to run the event without the GAA club either. So this is why they pulled it. And that's so sad to see that. And you know, it's...
And it was a means
we're
of...
We're a long way away from setting a level playing field for everything when you can't agree on sporting events.
And so, it was efforts, I think, to break down those cultural beliefs that cricket is for one religion, GAA is for another. It was bringing communities together. And, you know, I live in Strabane and I feel that where I live, that those cultural norms that existed years ago, that is being broken down. But to see then this still existing is, you know, it's worrying for the future.
It is worrying. And, you know, I know myself, 1983, I think it was, 83, I was working in Dublin at the time. And I remember the West Indies cricket team, the great West Indies cricket team, Kirkley Ambrose and all the greats there, they came over to Dublin to play one day international against Ireland in Rathmines. And I was living in Rathmines then. And I used to finish work around 12 o'clock. And I decided I would go down to watch it for a few hours because I'd never seen it. And I thought, you know, it was a great experience and I'll never forget it. And that's, unfortunately, it's 42 years ago, but I still remember that day watching those great players. And, you know, I didn't think I shouldn't be here because it's not part of my religion.
Mm.
That was the last thing in my head. I love sport. Didn't matter what sport. And religion shouldn't come into sport whatsoever.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And you have different, and the GAA now, and you take most GAA clubs across, even Donegal, you'll have different nationalities playing for clubs.
Mm.
And a lot of clubs are glad to have the extra people in their areas to keep their squads up as well. So it's very sad. It's a very sad week and I feel sorry for the members of the Cumber Cricket Club that they had to do this.
Kitty, do you agree that, you know, the commentary then from local residents that, you know, forced obviously this cricket club to cancel the event, do you agree that, you know, the cricket club should have cancelled it, or do you think that they should have went on ahead?
To be honest, I think they should have went on ahead, you know. Martin made a really good point there about, you know, when he went and saw, like, that amazing West Indian team, that, you know, that it wasn't, you know, he didn't feel that it wasn't his religion, so, you know, he couldn't go. Listen, as you can tell from my accent, I've been in Donegal for 25 years, right? I feel very much part of the furniture here now, and I hope that my community see me like that as well in Letterkenny. But I'm, you know, a very proud Londoner, and I was brought up in the Church of England. I tell you what, no one shouted more for Donegal at Crow Park last year when I attended the semi-final.
Mm-hmm.
In the GAA, you know, something that wasn't part of my culture that I absolutely adore now. You know, I love Gaelic football. I love, to be honest, I see when the Olympics is on, don't even talk to me. I love watching everything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and sports that I can't normally watch, you know. And again, with cricket, right? Cricket is one of the most unifying sports that there is, right? There's no religion attached to it at all. Look at the, if you look at the English cricket team, it's got Muslims, it's got Sikhs in it, and it's got people that probably don't believe in anything, right? Playing. You know what? Cricket has become more popular in Letterkenny, certainly due to the influx of a lot of the Indian workers that are up in America and stuff like that, you know? I just think it's really, really sad that sport is tinged with so much hatred attached to it. Do you know what I mean?
And it is. There is. It's just small pockets that still exist. Like you talked about there, you know, the cricket growing in Letterkenny, and it's great to see. Like, I love seeing different cultures and, you know, I wouldn't have grown up with cricket being widely played, but, you know, there's a cricket club now in my town as well. It's been there for quite some time, but it's lovely to see there's so many options for different people.
Ireland have a fantastic cricket team, you know. A really, really good cricket team. Cricket's always been really important to me. In fact, such a sad thing, but at least he was doing something he enjoyed. My dad actually died watching cricket. He was only 39 and he had an heart attack, right?
Oh, God.
But he was watching a test match in 1975, watching cricket, you know, something that brought him so much joy. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, there's your lesson in life. Just live life and enjoy it. And if you don't like cricket, that's fine. Mm. Personally, I'm not into golf, right?
Yeah.
Golf doesn't float my boat. But am I delighted to see what the world stage is seeing up in Port Rush, seeing what we can do in this country. Do you know what I mean? And put on fantastic sporting events, you know?
And that's a perfect example of bringing everybody together. You know, it's great to see. And just the buzz right around the Northwest for it.
Absolutely. I was up in Coleraine a wee while ago, just before the Northwest 200. Like, the buzz that major sporting events, and let's be honest, the money that they bring into counties is brilliant. You know what I mean? Like, as I say, I could sit and watch loads of different sports. As I say, I really, really, really enjoy it, the Olympics and the Paralympics, watching sports that I'd never watched. I mean, I love a good game of that murder ball, which is wheelchair rugby. The first time I was like, oh, don't watch the person. Then I'm like shouting to flip the person over. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's amazing. And that. And the one thing I will say about you know, sports being uniting of people, I'm a Millwall fan, right? I'm a Millwall fan, and when I moved to Donegal, I thought, oh, this is great. I haven't got to put up West Ham fans anymore. And my next-door neighbour, who's very well-known in Letterkenny, is actually a West Ham fan. I was like, I can't even get away from him over here, do you know what I mean? That's the only bit of sectarianism that I get involved in is West Ham, really. Do you know what I mean?
I know. Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly, it was confirmed this week as well that GAA Palestine were no longer coming to Ireland because of visa issues. Do you think that the government could have done a lot more whenever we think there's 33 children who were looking to escape, you know, the reality of their life over there?
Yeah, Michaela, I just want to touch first on the cricket club, if that's okay, and then I'll come in on the Palestine. But, you know, I think you're right. You know, sport has a unique power to bring people together. And, you know, first of all, I want to commend the County Down Cricket Club based in Comer for the initiative that they set out on the way of this summer camp, you know. And I feel it is unfortunate that this club had to cancel because of abuse received online, you know. And religion shouldn't be an issue anymore. No, I feel myself personally, we're in 2025, I feel it's very unfortunate that some people, you know, still live in the past instead of moving forward with the times. And, you know, I suppose it's up to us all, if you like, to ensure that each and every individual is treated equally and respectively as well and feel included. And, you know, I always feel what better way than through sport, having fun. And, you know, so I do. I applaud this club in Comer for the initiative that they're setting out. You know, and you know, even our local authorities there and community groups. There's a lot of good work going on to ensure inclusiveness. You know, it's important to point that out. But you know, I can't feel. But I read a statement one time, and you know, I thought it was very strong and a very good statement. And it was. It went like this here, Michaela. I just said. Openness is not a threat. Respect is not surrender. And our culture is not so fragile that it can't be shared.
Mm.
You know, and we're known here in this country for being good-natured and welcoming. And, you know, I think it's important that we keep that going forward, you know.
That respect is a huge thing, you know, even relating to this County Down Cricket Club and, you know, the Orange Lodge's involvement then, you know, the club, they wanted, as you highlighted there, they wanted to do something, you know, on cross-community basis and bring cultures together. And I suppose they wanted to get in at the youth as well.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I applaud them for the initiative they're setting out. You know, I think it was fantastic. And I think it's very unfortunate that it had to be cancelled, you know. And listen, Michael, I'll move on to the question you asked me, you know, in relation to the 13 children. From Palestine. And firstly, I feel it was very unfortunate what happened there. And, you know, I don't have the full detail of the ins and outs of this, but I feel from what I have been listening to and what I have read that, you know, more could have been done. I think there may have been a lack of engagement. That's only my own personal opinion, but, you know...
Do you think there was a lack of engagement from the Irish government?
Yeah. And maybe from both sides, because, you know, listen, there is a immigration rules for coming into Ireland, you know, such as providing documentation, whether it's a short stay visa, for an example, you know, and from my own research, it seems that because, you know, these were children that were coming in, that if you like, specific rules and terms of consent of parents and guardians had to be received as well, you know, and, you know, I feel if it was the case that there was a lack of engagement here and that some I's weren't dotted and T's weren't crossed, that, you know, I think it was very unfortunate that that was the case, you know.
And GAA Palestine, they did say that, you know, they provided additional information that they were requested. Councillor Martin Hardy, do you think it sends a message out that, you know, Ireland's humanitarian values, when you think that this is a group of children looking to escape what is going on in their homeland, that, you know, something could have been done more?
Yeah, it's sad to see it, you know, and I don't know the full ins and outs of it. What the problem was, I know the Minister, Jim O'Callaghan, said that there was an issue with the visas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure this was planned a good while ago. It wouldn't have happened overnight.
Yeah.
So maybe the organisers should have got in touch earlier and had somebody working on it to make sure that it would happen, that it wouldn't come down to visas at the finish-up. I suppose there's child protection issues as well. I know we mentioned as well that, and we have to protect children no matter what. It's great bringing children out of that environment and where they are, and it's so sad to see what's happening every day there, but we can't be bringing them out of that environment and to possibly another unsafe environment. We don't know what. I mean, we have to have all the details of all this. So we don't know. The child protection issues, as we know, is so important. And it's such a big issue in Ireland as well. So the full details of it. But I think maybe more work should have been done behind the scenes.
Yeah.
That they had somebody working directly to make sure the visas were sorted. Yeah. Because they had known this would be booked months ago. And it could, I think there was enough time to possibly have somebody dealing with it directly to ensure that it did happen. So
yeah.
I think that's the unit.
I think maybe someone from the GIA in Ireland maybe could have become a liaison person and, you know, had contact with somebody in government to find out. I heard. And so, like, we're hearing all different stories about what went on. I heard it was more about a child protection issue for the people that were going to host these children, that they weren't GARDA cleared. Now,
right.
I'm sure that that could have been sped up.
Yeah.
Right, had that all been in place. The other thing you've got to remember is visas of getting in and out of Palestine is down to the Israeli government as well. And
so do you think there could have been something at play there as well?
Yes, I do think there could have been something at play there as well. Obviously, we have to be very mindful of how we speak about this, because I don't want to be accused of being anti-Semitic or anything like that. But the Israelis would not probably want to let out someone who could tell the truth about what is going on in Palestine. So I think there's a number of, and I just feel so sad for everybody involved, because obviously the intent behind all of this was to get those kids out of a war-torn area and give them a break.
Yeah.
There is nothing malicious about this whatsoever. And I feel sorry for everybody involved. And I think that what we need to do is we need to, you know, the Minister for Sport to come forward and the GAA, and let's try and get this situation where we can get some of these kids out to just be kids and play Gaelic, because they do in Palestine. We know that. There is a GAA club. The GAA is all over the world. It's a marvellous organisation for spreading its wings. And, you know, we're seeing that in Ireland. My nephew regularly attends. He goes and watches the London GAA team, you know, and there is one in Palestine, and we need to, if we can give one child respite from war, let alone 33, it's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we need to let's get the ducks in a row. Let's, as communities, fundraise and get more of those kids, because even if the war stopped tomorrow, Palestine will need to be rebuilt.
Yeah, it's going to take a long, long time, yeah.
Long, long time. If we can get, if we can get 100 of those kids and get all the guardianships done and all that, and get them out and show them a good time, like Ireland has done with the Chernobyl children for a long, long time, you know?
Now, this week, things have progressed a bit in terms of the upcoming presidential election. There's still a few months to go, but Catherine Conley has confirmed her intention to run, and former EU Commissioner Midlands Northwest MEP Mairead McGuinness will be Fine Gael's candidate. We'll come to you on this first, Councillor Martin Harley. I presume you will be supporting Mairead McGuinness as a party colleague.
Yeah, I think, firstly, I do feel that Michael D. Higgins will be a very hard act to follow. Mm-hmm. I think he was a fantastic ambassador for 14 years. And the one, I always remember one lasting point. I remember meeting Mairead Nyameany 7 years ago when he got the second term. And I remember her telling me that she was out playing music at an event in Italy, a European event where the world leaders were there. And she said she was never so proud to be Irish. The fact that when Michael D got up to speak, he spoke in four different languages, and most of the national leaders only spoke in two languages. And she said she was very proud to that he was her president on the day. And I think that's important before we move on to the next person. So it's a hard act to follow.
Yeah.
Mairead McGuinness has fantastic European experience. I mean, she was the vice president of the European Parliament for 3 years, between 17 and 20. She's with the European Commissioner. She knows on the ground as well. She would have been a journalist with the Farmers' Journal before she went into politics. And she would have been the editor of the Irish Independence farming supplements as well. So she knows what's the grassroots in Ireland as well, very well, and I think she would be a fantastic ambassador.
Do you think her profile, she has a massive profile in Europe, and she's been in Europe for so many years, do you think that could affect her negatively, that she wouldn't be maybe as well known here?
Well, I know by what was she got a, she always got, when she ran for Europe, she always got a massive vote. She always topped the poll in the Midlands Northwest constituency. So I think she will be very well known. See, through the farming, before she went into politics, through our farming profile, I think that made her give her a high profile. So she was well known. and circles prior to that. So it's hard to know. We don't know who's going to be in the field yet. It's a long time till November when the election has to take place. So we don't know who's going to turn up yet. There could be, there's talk of Paddy Bonner could be in the field as well. So we'll be in a bit of a predicament here in Donegal if Paddy ran. So, but we don't know. We'll see what the final field is. But I know Mairead McGuinness will be a very good ambassador for Ireland. And I know she would represent us greatly at a world level.
Kitty, what do you think in relation to this? There's so many names being speculated as well. We have Mary Lou McDonald's name being tossed about there as well, but Sinn Féin hasn't confirmed if they're running a candidate or who they would run. Who do you believe would be a good fit for the role?
Right, so first of all, I need to declare that my citizenship is not through yet. I've had to save very hard for that because it's €1,700 for me to become an Irish citizen after 25 years. So I don't actually get a vote as it stands. Out of the two candidates that have been put forward so far, Catherine Connolly would be my choice. Can I just say, though, that I am pleased that a number of women are being mentioned. I think that that's a real step forward, although we've had some great women presidents like Mary Robinson and Mary McAleese as well. But it's nice to see that there's women coming forward. Catherine, for me, I think he's... Look, there's no doubt Michael Dee is going to be a hard, hard act to follow. He has been a fantastic president. You knew that he was going to represent Ireland really, really well. And I think that she's in a similar genre, actually, Catherine Connolly. I think she'll be very much wanting to represent the best of Ireland, and... I think could hold her own on the international stage as well. The one shame is I think she'll be very, very missed from the Doyle, you know. I think she'll be really missed from the Doyle. She also has a pretty calm head on her as well, getting those politicians in line in the Doyle as well when she's in the chair. So for me, it would be if I had a vote, and I won't have a vote because my citizenship won't be through in time, but for me it would be Catherine Connolly. Other names that have been put forward, well, there's one name that I won't mention, but I think we all know who he is.
Yeah, I think we could all guess.
I'm glad he's getting nowhere near it.
And do you think that that's the way the democracy in terms of the presidential election works, that they have to get so much support? Do you believe that this is where it plays an important part so the likes of, say, Conor McGregor can't get on the ticket?
Yeah, but it's a very strange system for me, obviously, because I've come from, you know, a monarchy. So, but I think, there has to be... I think it's still very democratic because we have elected those people to represent us that then go on to do the nomination for presidency. So, you know, it comes from county councils and stuff like that. I mean, I think we need to sort of look at the whole overhauling of certain things like the Shannon and stuff like that. But, I'm very glad for the system that is there at the moment, in this moment in time. Yes.
Donal, Mandy Kelly, in terms of Fianna Fáil, they haven't confirmed if or who they're going to put forward, if they are going to put forward a candidate. But as Martin mentioned there, Paddy Bonner has been talked about and Pat the Cope Gallagher as well. Have you any insight into this?
Yeah, well, I think, Michaela, I'll be quite honest with you. I think in the present minute, there's only one man that comes to my mind that should be our next president. And that's Jim McGuinness, if he'd love her Sam Maguire back to the Hills next Sunday.
Everybody being voting, he'll have every vote in Donegal.
So, listen, getting back to Michaela, there's talk of Paddy Bonner, surely, and Pat the Cope Geller. Two massive names, two very popular men, I suppose Pat the Cope, particularly, he has a wealth of knowledge and experience through politics. He's been a politician all his life. So, there's a lot of names there. That's a fair time now to November, and it's going to be an exciting time and very interesting time over the coming weeks. So listen, we'll sit back and see how it goes. But definitely if when with Exam back to the Hills, I think Jim should throw his name in the hat.
We could talk about this all day, but unfortunately we have to leave it there. Many thanks to Katie Turrell McCafferty, community campaigner, Councillor Martin Harley, who is the Kirloch of the Lifford-Stranorna Municipal District, and Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly, Laska Kirloch of Donegal County Council, and a councillor in the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District as well. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.